Choice!
Ba, do, dee, da, da. Ba, do, dee, da. Ba, do, ba, dee, ba, da, ba, da.
Jabba, do, ba, do, ba. Shoo, ba, ba.
Hello and welcome to Toast, the two-part podcast talking about the toast we are munching down on in our own lives and the events we're toasting to right around the world. A little bit different today. Gee, I'm looking at you virtually on my phone.
And whose fault is that?
Well, I mean, you did snap at the occasion when I said I was a little bit sick. I said, I'm sick, and you said, well, that might be good for me.
It's been a hectic week for both of us, I think. So it probably worked out well that you're by yourself recovering from COVID in the studio.
Yeah.
Whilst I recuperate at home, taking things easy, because this week for me, for about 3 days, my home was the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre in the city of Melbourne, basically exhibiting at EduTech, Australia's biggest technology conference.
You're wondering what it is.
At the POW.
It's technology gone edgy, what the experts are saying.
That's funny. I haven't heard that one before. Boom, boom, boom. That was very good from you.
You're joking.
Very good.
And I will say just quickly, I've had like 5 days of like having COVID. So don't think that I've just ran into a studio after just getting COVID. This is just this is just precautionary, all right? So if you're listening and thinking, that's disgusting, he's just got COVID and he's... No, it's been like 5 days, but we want to be safe.
No.
You know what I mean?
And 100%, and you did the right thing by me, because we're recording this Sunday night, so the night before this podcast will go live. Mm-hmm. And you rang me yesterday, being Saturday, saying, hey, G, just letting you know, I tested positive for COVID a few days ago, and I'm still not 100%. Don't want to get you sick just in case I'm contagious. Do you want to stay home? And I said, yes, I would. And it was a win-win. So,
well, that's right.
Good guy.
Unfortunately, my housemate can't say the same. He just got COVID. So, sorry about that, John. Anyway.
Thank goodness I'm not living with you, Ewan. It's good that we have some distance between us.
That's true, for more reasons than one. Gee, we have the Toast of the Week coming up a little bit later on. Of course, you're leading that one in the show. You got a hook for us or anything that we can look forward to particularly with that?
Yeah, how AI can actually change lives for the better. We shouldn't be too afraid of it. That's the hook for you that I'm going to use tonight.
Well, if you're a boomer listening, that one's definitely for you, of course.
It's artificial intelligence, if you don't know the acronym.
And otherwise, let's start with something kind of new to the show. We're going to call it the roast. You got the roast and you got the toast of the week. I think that's only fitting. We've got to balance it out a little bit. And we're starting off our roast of the week with, would you believe it? It is back, the Fyre Festival. In 2017, thousands of people travelled to the private Bahamian island of Fyre Cay to attend what was meant to be the music festival of a lifetime, the Fyre Festival. Junna, is your head across the Fyre Festival?
It was across the Fyre Festival that was meant to happen a few years ago.
Yeah.
That sent its creator to jail for a number of years because everything he promised ticket holders that were attending this lavish, fun music festival that was meant to be super bougie, that was meant to have all these celebrities there and all these amazing performers, none of it happened. Everyone was left with basically toast with cheese on it and these tents that had mud all over them. Not really a bougie experience. And I remember actually watching you and I think it was on Netflix, I believe, the documentary talking all about this and more. Do you remember watching it?
Yeah, I certainly do. What was promised was supermodels like Kendall Jenner, Emily Ratajkowski, Hailey Bieber. And it was pretty much to target Americans, essentially. I think it was right around the world, but pretty much particularly Americans, and it was to try and get them to this remote island it marketed itself as, where Blink 182 is going to play. And as you said, people arrived and they were very disheartened to see sad looking sandwiches and emergency tents, which were meant to be like these bohemian kind of $1,000, you know, tent setups, rain soaked mattresses. And well, people were ultimately traumatized. When that Netflix thing came out, one of the most startling things about it was when everyone got there, it kind of became a free-for-all, like an episode of The Simpsons or something. It was like it just went, just chaos hit. Yeah. Everyone was just like, yeah. I think there was like fires happening in the fire festival. People were like lining up the joint, just saying, you know what, I'm going to get my money's worth somehow.
This is the thing. It became such a travesty because people spent so much money just to get there. And because they were promised so many wonderful things and didn't get any, I think there was such a big food shortage as well that people were really, I shouldn't laugh, it's horrible, but people were really hungry.
Oh, you can laugh.
And a lot of people just went to their phones just to share their experience, which obviously all the content went viral because everyone said, this is not what we signed up for.
Oh, and we would get naturally, we would get some viral content if we went to a fire festival ourselves. And
well, you did. You did in a way.
Well, because I did, didn't I? I went to Splendor in the Mud. Like only.
Yes.
Was it this year or last year?
No, it was last year, Splendor in the Grass, year, which is a huge music festival in Byron Bay. Happens every single year. And you had the worst time. And that also was something that was documented because of the extreme rainfall.
Everyone gained. When a society like that is made, when a community of people come together to share, I guess, a sense of trauma in a large way like this, people kind of get allocated roles. Someone was handing out like gum. Someone, you know, had extra gumboots. So they were selling them for a quick buck on the side. They're the gumboot guy.
Hang on. They were selling them. They weren't just giving them to be a good person.
No. People would literally set up shop at the start and be like, hey, who wants gumboots? Go. It was barbaric because it's just like once there is like a knee-deep mud at a music festival, there were people selling gumboots. There were people selling. There were people on giving like ferry rides, like they had a little dinghy. I don't know how they managed it, but there was like a little dinghy, and they, at least in the entrance, they were like shipping people from one side to the other. It was absolutely insane. My job during the fire festival of Byron Bay Splendor in the Grass, I was the meme creator. People knew me as the guy that they would, when they got reception, looked at their phone and on the Splendor in the Grass 2023 discussion page, there were all these memes being posted just consistently, like,
and
literally,
that were all yours.
And it was all me because you know the way I deal with trauma, G. It's either seeing a counsellor or it is posting memes, both equally as good, I dare say.
Which our listeners would be 100% aware of because around, what, three, four weeks ago, as part of the Toast of the Week, we talked about how powerful memes can be when you're sending it to loved ones, especially those going through a tough time. You're living proof that people found sanity and comfort in memes going through a really terrible, shitty, muddy experience.
Wow.
And you were giving them a sense of perspective and joy.
It's very true, very true. Of course, we've gone on a tangent. The roast of the week this week goes to a guy called Billy McFarland. He is the CEO, the creator of what is Fire Festival. Now, he started this when he was like 25 years old. He had a dream. That dream
went south.
Well, it led him to 6 years imprisonment because he pretty much defrauded like
it was,
hundreds.
It was about 5 years.
Of,
it was about 5 years, I believe.
I've got five or six.
And I think 10 months of that was solitary confinement.
Okay, right. Mm. Well, he has decided to, out of nowhere, don't call it a comeback, or in fact, call it the greatest comeback of all time. He has decided to launch the Fire 2, I think he's calling it, Fire Festival 2. And, I mean, we could call it a roast, but he's managed to sell already 100 tickets. He sold out the first kind of, what do you call it, the first launch, the soft launch of 100 tickets?
I think you call it the first wave, the first lot of pre-launch tickets.
Yeah, and, like, they range from, you might have it there, but they range from, like, $500 to thousands of dollars, these tickets. And he's not selling anything. He's selling another dream. In fact, he's admitting to selling a dream. He's saying, I've got no cash on me. I can't go to the Bahamas because I'm a fugitive. So we're going to do it in the Caribbean. And it's happening around about the end of 2024. And if you want to buy a ticket for a few $1,000s, help me out here. It's going to be huge. He's actually doing less than what he did at the Fire Festival 1.0, and he's managed to sell out 100 tickets. This guy, maybe we've just been doing life wrong.
Well, I was going to say he has come to his senses to a degree because he was obviously interviewed about these tickets that have sold out so quickly around the world. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that he learned a lot from being in jail And he particularly was incredibly embarrassed for the way he acted and the, I guess, the reception that his family got as a consequence of his behavior and his choices. So he said, I've learned from my mistakes. I'm paraphrasing.
Oh, no,
he actually, you know what? I'll read what he said.
Okay,
this is a quote that he gave the media. He says, the big difference this time, in terms he's referring to Fire 2, is that we are working with a very large festival and logistics partner, so I'm not touching the money. I'm not going to be the one booking the talent. So he's recognized that if he has nothing to do with it at all, other than the fact that it's his idea, hopefully it won't be, you know, a disaster. It'll be something more special.
I'm sorry, but if you get burnt once by one person, you don't go back to him and say, oh, you learnt from jail. That's what you've just told me there. You've just said, oh, he learnt because he went to jail and he's remorseful. He went to jail, G. Like, have a listen to the sentence you just said. He went to jail. He's not, this is not happening. I don't want to put money on it. I'm not going to, but you know, I think he's not going to do it.
I think, look, I don't know this guy so I've got nothing to do with him. I never bought tickets. I never went to the first Fire Festival. But
you're
one thing I can say, and I'm quoting his business partner, who's a venture capitalist here, who's joining him in this venture. He says, okay, this is a guy called John Cesari. I hope I'm saying his name correctly, or Cerezani. He says, quote, America likes a good comeback story, and we're on the verge of one here.
Oh.
So that's what they're hoping for, a good comeback.
There's like when I was trading cryptocurrencies a couple of years ago now.
You were really into it.
I was really into it. Yeah, I was getting really into it.
It was your pastime. It was a form of salary. It was a bit of a salary for you. You were making a bit of money out of it.
I was before I lost it all. But there were all these new cryptocurrencies just coming out, and they were just called, they were called shitcoins, essentially. And what they pretty much...
They were actually called SHIT coins.
Yeah, they were called... I think it was just the proper name. But anyway, that's what they were referred to as. And essentially, you'd go and they'd have a website, and it would just be a trend. Like, there was that Korean four-part series on Netflix. I think it was absolutely huge. Squid Games. I think it's Korean, or was it?
Oh, Squid Game, the TV show. The second season's coming up.
They had
soon.
A Squid Game token. Now, that thing got in its launch, it had a really crappy little shoddy website, and it sold dreams, just like Fire Festival 2.0.
But Squid Game sold dreams, and it was a horrible situation. I mean,
I'm saying the cryptocurrency sold dreams. It's going to the moon. It's going to be worth billions of dollars. This is a real thing, you guys. And when you hear someone say, oh, it's definitely going to work out, it's definitely going to be a thing, and you're like, well, what is it? And they're like, well, we have nothing just at the moment, but, you know, invest. I mean, every single time you lost your money. So, maybe you can try for us. Maybe you can buy a ticket and head to the Caribbean.
Oh, no, I'm not buying a ticket. I don't trust him.
Well, when you play with Fire, G, you get burnt.
No. Well, I was going to say, I don't like even playing with matchsticks, let alone a big Fire Festival.
I tell you what, what would be funny is if I had nothing to do and they were going on sale and they're like a couple hundred bucks, maybe I should go. Maybe I should just buy a ticket. Maybe they could be worth a fortune. You could be able to resell them maybe for just an absolute killing. Maybe people just
maybe.
Need Fire Festival tickets.
You can be our toast correspondent as long as you don't get burnt.
We could call it burnt. Burnt toast. That'd be funny. All right, that's all we have to say about Fire Festival. But yes, the roast of the week.
Ewan, there have been a number of articles coming out in the last, I guess, week or so, talking about artificial intelligence. Now, AI is everywhere, particularly with ChatGPT. I know that you've used it a few times, ChatGPT, Yuzi, and I have as well.
Oh, yes. It's good to help you out. I think I'm an amateur still when it comes to ChatGPT. I go down some rabbit holes. I ask it for certain, like, you know, prompts when it comes to work. I'm like, hey, could you just spit that out for me and I can proofread it, proof check it. But I don't use it probably as much as everyone else does.
It's a great resource, though. And I think even though in certain industries people are concerned about the use of ChatGPT, which I understand, especially when it comes to the education sector, There also has been some stories regarding AI, particularly here in Australia. It isn't so good. And obviously, this is the toast of the week, but I wanted to start off with this first because, like any story that you might hear, there's good and bad, and I want to focus on the good.
This doesn't sound like a toast of the week. This sounds like a judicial system or something.
Hey, I've got a background in journalism, so I feel like I've got my journalistic hat on.
Oh, you graduated the same university I did. We both know that was a joke of a degree, but
no,
anyway.
You didn't. You went to RMIT. I went to La Trobe.
Oh, yours was even more of a joke.
Hey, they actually don't have my course anymore there. Fun fact. They actually got rid of it. I think it's just media communication now, whereas when I was studying there, it was a bachelor. It was actual journalism degrees. So what does that say? But anyway, going back to what I was trying to communicate is, sadly in Australia, 1.3 million jobs are expected to have to skill up because artificial intelligence, AI, are going to basically take over because of automation and how sophisticated it's coming. And there was a whole list of jobs that are a part of that list by 2027. We're going to start to see these changes. And I remember reading about it, and I'm like, man, that's just under 10% of Australia's workforce. That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I was a bit like, oh my goodness, AI is taking over the world. But then, Ewan, I came across a wonderful story from the United States.
Don't tell me this toast of the week is going to be about the one story and you've just front-loaded it with thousands of people losing their job. That's that's how you're going to segue into the toast of the week. You thought that was a good idea. Ignorance is bliss. We could have just started with it.
Hang on. It's thousands of people who have to upskill.
Okay.
You know, so they can keep their job. So we're looking at it with the glass half full. But what I love about this particular story, I saw it as part of the Good News Movement socials page. You can check them out on Instagram, etc. But it's about a woman by the name of Ann Johnson over in the United States. And sadly, in 2005, she suffered a stroke. And because of that stroke, she has been unable to speak for the last 18 years, basically. And I can't even imagine what that would be like for anyone to go through something like that, particularly you and I, Ewan, who love to communicate and love to talk. We do it for a living. Yeah. It'd just be absolutely heart-wrenching. But the wonderful story here is that this particular woman, thanks to the University of California, a collaboration between two university campuses, San Francisco and the one in Berkeley, they've been able to create a technology using AI that allows basically Anne to talk for the very first time and communicate because of this experimental technology using a digital avatar. Can you imagine how amazing it would be for her to finally feel like she can share, and her family and friends being able to receive information, like communicating in that way? That's, for us, is just a simple thing that
now,
we do.
Can I inquire?
Mm.
How does that happen?
Well, this is a digital podcast. Like, you can't, it's audible, but basically it's, So Anne basically has these wires that connect to her brain. It's almost like little patches that they connect with wires. And I'll read you a little bit about it because I think it will make a lot more sense. But essentially, the communication tool, allows her to communicate 75% faster than previous technologies, and is placed on the brain surface using these special wires. And it connects her to speech. So what happens is that there's this machine that then connects to a television, and then there's a picture that appears of a moving face of an actual avatar that looks a little bit like her, that as she's thinking, the avatar talks with its voice.
Read
the signals, the communication signals in her brain, and then be able to communicate what she's thinking through the avatar.
It's also a little bit scary.
I guess a little bit scary to adjust to it, but at the same time, the avatar looks a little bit like her, so I guess it's a pretty cool thing.
It's kind of like creating another paradigm, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's creating another version of her, a digitalized version.
Yeah.
So, it is a little bit like that. Although, you know, to be able to share your thoughts and feelings and be able to express yourself in such a beautiful way, and for your family to experience that, like, it was actually quite beautiful because in the social post on the Good News Movement's page, a lady by the name of Nicolette Hunter is a good friend of Anne. And this is what she wrote. It was just so beautiful to see the community coming
together.
She says, "This is my friend Anne. They're currently preparing to leave this particular university to continue working with their team in this neuro advancement. It has been an invasive and difficult journey for Anne, but she is a trailblazer. What she is doing is going to help so many people in the future to use AI for the better." And I love that, because imagine how uncomfortable this has been for her to be able to go through this process, showing up every time as part of this experiment, maybe for years and years and years it hadn't worked. And yet she was thinking, I want to do this for people just like me that might be my situation. So she's been able to be a bit of a guinea pig in order to allow other people that might be in her circumstance be able to speak freely.
Oh, absolutely. And that's always the silver lining with something like this, right?
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
go on a journey and potentially put your hand up to inspire so many people in a similar situation.
Absolutely. And if you think about the future as well, and look, the reality is I get nervous too when I think about technology. I think about where it's going to go, how we're going to associate with our friends and family, how we're going to do things around the house, how we're going to work. But when I do see articles around this of talking about great news stories of people where their lives have been changed for the better, it brings me such a sense of perspective and hope. And I just really, my wish as well, Ewan, is that as we as Aussies think about the future, and I know you were alluding to this earlier as well, Ewan, that that jobs don't necessarily disappear for people, that we can work with AI to keep our jobs, and if anything, may it free up some time for us to experiment and do different things and give other roles a go as well. We've got to work with this technology, because I have a feeling it's not going anywhere.
Toast! There you go. It's done and dusted. It's in the books, as they say. Another episode of Toast, the podcast. Thank you very much for listening in, G. Do you reckon you're going to decide to come back in for an episode of the podcast, or are you enjoying yourself, you know, at home, living the high life?
Oh, look, it's nice to be at home, although... Look, it's not the same ever being in the studio with someone. It's always better to be face-to-face, because on my screen...
Don't lie to me, G. You thought to you've been thinking to yourself, oh, the tech's been working well. You know, I haven't had to drive about 1.5 hours to get to Richmond. Great!
Hey, hey, hey. I'm actually door-to-door 30 minutes. Unless Collingwood is playing at the MCG, at the Melbourne Cricket Ground... Then I feel like any of these larger clubs that are playing the AFL, it takes me way longer, because everyone is also heading to the MCG or to the city to watch the game.
Women, AFL. I'm just kidding. hey, quickly, you're a Melbourne supporter. Are you excited for the finals?
I am very excited. I'm a little bit nervous because it is Melbourne versus Collingwood for the first round of finals.
And who's
going
to win?
Well, I was going to say, they haven't actually played each other in finals since 1989. So this is a big, big game. But because they're both in the top four, no matter who wins, they both get another chance. Who do I think will win, you ask me?
That was the question.
I want Melbourne to win. And I also need Melbourne to win for a whole variety of reasons, because it also makes it a lot more fun experience at home as well, because there's a lot of diehard fans in my family.
All right, well, we'll leave you with your domestic problems and the Melbourne Football Club. And we'll be back next week.
See you. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.